The following podcast is brought to you by the Station of the Cross. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Calling All Catholics, a program where you can ask a priest your questions on the Catholic faith or make a prayer request. We invite your call at 1-877-511-5483. You can also email us at cac@thestationofthecross.com or post to our Facebook page, The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio.
Good evening. Rick Paolini here with Father Michael Mayer. He is the parochial vicar of Our Lady of Peace in Geneva, New York. Welcome, Father.
Thank you.
Would you like to begin the program with a prayer, please?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loving God, we thank you for the many wonderful gifts you have given us, the beauty of nature, especially at this time of year, for the beauty of our friends and families. Kindle in us a burning desire to proclaim your goodness to all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
The number to call is 1-877-511-5483. Get yourself together and get a question for Father Michael today on this Friday edition of Calling All Catholics. You can also email Father Michael Mayer at cac@thestationofthecross.com, or you can Facebook him at The Station of the Cross Catholic Radio. Father, what are some general topics that we can get things going on today?
Well, one of the things which I'm sure I echo many people in this is I'm glad that the synod is over in Rome, simply because of all the media hype, the back and forth, the secular media. In fact, your ad with one of your other speakers, I don't know if it was Jimmy Akin, but saying how that the secular media tried to twist what was going on there, use it in, you know, to their own maybe politically correct advantage. But I'm sort of glad that we'll be away from a lot of that reporting now, and that the good work that I'm sure those who are in attendance did will bear fruit, good fruit in the future. Because certainly we need a lot of work, a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom, a lot of direction in terms of the family, especially in our day and age.
No question about it. If you have a question on the synod, maybe you don't even know what a synod is, what kind of authority it has, give Father Michael a call at 1-877-511-5483. Father, as a priest, what would you hope would be some of the findings of the synod, or suggestions or recommendations?
Well, yeah, basically, in particular, because this seemed to be the big issue, marriage, and of course, family life as a result of that. And as a priest, having done many programs, but accompanying people as they prepared for marriage and talking with them, the frustration I've had has always been that by the time they come in to start the process, you don't have a lot of time or a lot of room to really talk about deep issues, to really help people understand what marriage is. In many cases, people come who are cohabiting, living together. I always ask them the question, okay, for all intents and purposes, people looking at you may think that you're already married. Therefore, why have a ceremony in a church, a marriage ceremony? And inevitably, which is very interesting, they say, because we want God to be part of it. So there is a desire there, no matter how small or unformed it is, a desire for God to be part of that. But let's say 6 months is the minimum time we need to prepare a couple for marriage. That's really not enough time to go in depth. I would say this, that if the couple have been living separately, if they're both practicing Catholics, go regularly to Mass, if they come from families in general, that are intact, that is, a mom and dad on both sides are still married, that they've already had a good formation from within the family and within their own practice. And those are the groups, people that generally I say, they should have a fine marriage. But oftentimes, at least one of the couples comes from a family where there's divorce. And statistically, we know that that does have an effect on people's thinking about marriage, the sense that, well, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to get out of it, even though that has nothing to do with the sacrament of marriage. And both husband and wife, the man and the woman coming into the ceremony, have to have no codicil, so to speak, that they're going to add or amendments or I will enter into this till death do us part, unless there can't be any unless there can't be any prenuptial agreements. So, you know, I don't think the number one, I think that's there's an ignorance there. But secondly, what are we doing as a church community within parishes in particular to support marriage, to celebrate it, to encourage it? I think a lot of evangelical churches are doing a very good job about that because they really try to include the entire family, the extended family, in their ministry. And they have a separate youth pastor, the main pastor. They have activities for all different generations. I think we need to think a little bit bigger in our understanding of family and supporting family life. So I'm hoping from this synod, there will come some wonderful, suggestions. For example, one that was thrown out right away was, how about some sort of RCIA for marriage? Which I think is a great idea. I think, though, in one sense, it has to be open to anybody at any age, well, let's say especially maybe from 18 on, who might even be thinking that one day they'd like to marry, whether, in fact, they're in a relationship or not. So that from the get-go, they're entering even into relationships with an understanding of what marriage is so that they could see very quickly that, no, this person is not the person who could enter into a sacramental marriage or has no interest in it. So I want someone who does have the same views, the same beliefs, the same commitments to God, so that when we take those vows, we're on the same page, so that it's not kind of after the fact that you've already gotten involved or related in a relationship, but rather you're looking ahead to the future, what might be. So I think that's a great, great suggestion, which I hope we can implement in some way.
No question about it. 1-877-511-5483. Looking for your thoughts, your comments on family life, on marriage. 1-877-511-5483. You know, Father, one of the things, and my wife and I have been married for 45 years. Before we were married, one of the things that was very, very important to me was that we both understood that divorce would never be an option. That it would never be an option. And I think what that does, I think you end up with a mindset that says no matter how difficult it gets, and it does get difficult, that that's not an option. So you have a mindset that says, okay, how do we work this through? How do we work this through?
Yeah,
instead
yeah.
of saying to yourself, yeah. Well, you
Absolutely.
Know, it's happened to so many people, and it's happening to us. And when you have that mindset that that's not an option, it sort of forces you mentally to work it out. And,
yes,
and
right.
I get concerned because what you said earlier, that I think so many couples are influenced in some way by society that says, you know, 50, 52% of the couples, they end up divorced anyway. So, you know, if you're having a lot of trouble, I think so many marriages could be saved if people just stuck to it, became a little more selfless, and try to work it through instead of giving in to those feelings that, well, I guess we're just going to be one of those statistics again. It doesn't have to be.
No, not at all. And I think when you talk about feelings, and this is not new. I brought this up on previous programs. Alistair MacIntyre, the philosopher, a Catholic convert, wrote a book back in the early 80s and has since edited it called After Virtue. And he makes the point that modern people do their moral reasoning, or just their thinking, their analytical thinking, their intellectual thinking, through their emotions. He calls it emotivism. So it's all based on feelings. And I know for myself that, my Lord, people should stay away from me if I'm going to live by my feelings, because one moment I'm depressed, the next moment I'm excited, the next moment I'm angry, whatever. And you can't make decisions based on that. And really, I think this is the real pastoral, or one of the pastoral issues that we have to look at is, number one, saying to people, it's not about feelings. It's about what you know to be true and good, and whether you like it or not, you stick to it. So, and that's what, as a community, we have to remind one another. Secondly, we have to come up with ways of, as communities, of ushering one another into the kingdom of God and walking with them and reminding them. I always say in my wedding homily, I said, you know, all you people who are here, you're not just here for a nice party or a pretty celebration. You have a very serious task, because you are witnesses. And so you are there to see what's going on today and in the future, in the good times, to support them and rejoice. In the bad times, remind them what they did today and work with them on it. In sickness and in health, in wealth and poverty, whatever comes along. And I think that's part of the breakdown. We don't, we're in such a sort of individualistic, private, this is my life sort of thing, that people, even to talk about their faith, they don't want to talk about their faith. They think it's an intrusion, or what will people think? So that we have to step up to the plate more. If this is what we believe, to celebrate it. And I think that's what Pope Francis is talking about again and again. We've got to be on fire with our faith. We've got to celebrate it. We've got to, well, as Jesus said the other day in the gospel, he wishes everything was already, a fire was being lit in the world, so that, you know, things would really start to grow and change. And do we think that way? Do we pray that way? Plus, simply simple things on how to keep a marriage a happy one, or to keep it healthy. For example, how to argue, you know, not when you feel frustrated and let it all out, but, you know, decide on what the rules of engagement are going to be, and say, okay, tomorrow when we have time to talk about it. And that goes for any lifestyle. It doesn't matter. To get beyond our feelings and perhaps our sense of anger and resentment and blaming other people, and take responsibility for our own journey. And that's a lifelong task. And I don't mean to say that you can be in a troubled marriage and tomorrow it's all going to be better. No. But if you have that commitment, I think we will see that even in the difficult times, perhaps especially in the difficult times, that's where we really grow. That's where we really see what we value. That's where we really choose what is important, and we want to stay with it. So it's a lifelong thing, that I think we have to be more on top of it, more talking about it, and having opportunities within parishes to deal with these issues in an ongoing way, not just a one-time session, but always, every week. There's something to remind us, whoever we are, what is our commitment to God? What commitments have we made? What are we willing to do to grow in those commitments?
No question about it. 1-877-511-5483. For those of you who have been married a long time or just a short time, if there's an element of success in your relationship, give us a call. Share that with our listeners. Let us know what works in your marriage. Let us know if you had difficult times and how you work through those. We would love to share those with our listeners. 1-877-511-5483. Three. You know, Father, just a cute story, and if my wife is listening, she's probably going to shoot me for saying this on the air, but there was one time, which, you know, in the course of 45 years, all kinds of things happen, and you have to work through them. And one Saturday night, Sunday evening, we had one of those discussions that lasted for a long, long, long time. And Sunday morning, we went to church with our five children, and dear friends of ours who often sat pretty close to us and usually behind us. The wife leaned into my wife and she said, "I just want you to know that you and Rick are such a model for us." And I looked at my wife and we both got a chuckle out of it because, you know what, if you'd have been with us last night.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you'd say that, but, you know, I guess, but that's part of what the success of a marriage is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
In business, I was given a job as a human resource manager. And my boss said, "Do you know why we gave you that job?" And, you know, being a little arrogant at the time, I said, "Because I deserved it." And he said, "No." He said, "That's true." He said, "But why do you think you have this job?" I said, "Why is that?" He said, to teach you how to take somebody out, to fire someone without costing us a lot of money. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I never thought of that. And he said, "You know, it's very easy and it's a wonderful thing when you bring somebody aboard and you tell them about the great company and they have a job now and they're going to get all kinds of benefits and good stuff." And he says, "We want you to be able to handle the difficult times, to talk to people about when they're not doing well, and then to do the ultimate, to be able to, if you have to take them out properly." And he said, "It's so important that you be fair to that employee." He said, "You always have to have a clear conscience that you did everything you could to make that person a good employee." And I never forgot that. He said, "It's so important." He said, "If you send somebody out and didn't give them the proper training and teaching and encouragement," he said, "you've done wrong." And, you know, mm-hmm. and I learned in terms of that, and obviously it's not to take out a marriage, but to learn to communicate properly so that, you know, for your spouse, that as best you can, and I have room to grow in that. You know, my wife is probably running in here and saying, "I want to get on the air. I want to get on the air." But the fact is, matter of fact, I should have her on the air sometime. The fact is that in that relationship, you have to remember that, you know, the scripture says the two become one. The mm-hmm. two become mm-hmm. one. So if you're not doing something to help yourself by helping your spouse, you've got to try to keep a clear head so that you can do that. And I don't do that all the time. And, you know, bless to be able to pray. And as you said, it's very important to be able to say, let's just cool it and we'll do this another time because we're not doing this right. And that happens.
And you bring up business, and we can learn a lot from business about our growth in the faith. For example, if you were a lawyer, now I think every year, every couple years, they have to take certain recertification courses, whatever. Priests, under canon law, we are supposed to be continuing our education, and usually that would take the form of maybe a conference. Now the question is, do we do that? Do priests do that? We're supposed to have spiritual directors. Do we have spiritual directors? In business, if you don't abide by those rules and regulations, you're going to find yourself out on the street. In the church, well, we don't have that. We don't generally kick anybody out, and even people who are excommunicated, we're hoping that they will come back. And so it's not, we hate you, we don't want you, but you've done something, then we want to help you get back into our community. But I don't think we use the same mindset or the same skill building mindset that good businesses, healthy businesses have. And I'm not talking about ones that are so focused on the dollar and that sort of thing, but really take the employees and customers into consideration and want everybody to really enjoy what they're doing, to feel good about what they're doing. So that's a whole other area, too, that I don't know that we address. And what does that mean, to enjoy what we're doing or to grow in the knowledge of our ability, that we have this skill and can use it well and that we're continuing to develop it? I don't think we talk a lot about that.
That's true.
Sure, some parishes probably are very, very far along in terms of implementing, you know, all sorts of, I don't want to say programs per se, but ways of dealing with these issues in a healthy way so that people are truly encouraged to grow and want to grow, especially in marriage, in family life. And today, I'm so glad I'm not a child today. In growing up in the 50s, 60s, you know, I don't want to be nostalgic about it, but you know, I look back on some days, had a big dinner. We just sat around all afternoon. I went to visit relatives. It really was a relaxing time. Nowadays, it's go, 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 go. Sundays and Saturdays included. Last week we had at my parish a youth retreat, and as I went down the aisle at the beginning, I looked at all these people. I said, you know, I don't see you every weekend at Mass. What's going on? The one goes, well, I work. And I says, well, you know, there's a 4:30 Mass on Saturday, a 4:30 Mass on campus on Sunday. I want to see you there, not just so you're there, but I want to interact with you. I want you to feel part of this community, and I need you to be there. I need your youth to encourage me. But, you know, work and the sports teams seem to take all our time and energy. And so church is just one more voluntary thing. If I go, I go. If I don't, I don't. So what can we do to say this is the greatest thing going, our faith, God, all these mysteries that we participate in and that God wants us to grow? And do we take the time to realize the gifts God gives us and how God is prompting us to grow in our faith so that not only we have a sense of gratitude and joy, but we're actually spreading that wherever we go.
That's great. Father, we have three callers on the line right now, and I'm going to go to Bernadette, who would like to speak about comment on marriage. Bernadette, you're on with Father Michael. Thank you.
Oh, sure. I'm so sorry. I have to be brief. I have a hungry 5-year-old, and I have to go food shopping.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
They didn't put that in the notes.
I didn't tell them that. I just wanted to say my husband and I are coming up on our 12th wedding anniversary, and when we were newlyweds, maybe a year and a half in, we were really struggling. We both came from parents. We both came from divorced parents. And so we didn't have models, really. And although our parents are great, but not together. So we went for marriage. This is what I want to share. So we went for marriage counseling with a Christian counselor. It was phenomenally helpful. We went for a couple of years. I don't know if we, you know, it really completely turned everything around. But when the first time, I think it was the first night we met with the counselor, he told us a statistic that just blew me away, because I was horrified that we were in marriage counseling. I mean, here we were a year and a half in, and we were already saying, like, why? We were wanting to call it quits. It was so hard. Nobody tells you how hard it is. And he said, well, I'll tell you this. I said, you know what, I'm sorry for this crying in the background. He said, I'll tell you this, because I said, none of my friends are in marriage counseling. We're the only ones we know who have come to marriage counseling. Everyone else just seems to be skipping along happily. And he said, well, I'll tell you this, the average couple seeks help from a marriage counselor 6 years after the onset of difficulties. He said, what am I going to do to help somebody 6 years later? He said, there's not a lot I can do. And those are the statistics. So that made me feel better. And it was really effective. So I just wanted to say to people, if you feel like that's something you think would help, then definitely go
find
the right person. And if you don't, the first person we went to was not a good fit for us, and we just kept looking. And the other thing I want to say is we've stopped shopping on Sundays and gone back to just church and family rides and dinner, and it's lovely.
Amen. That's wonderful.
Yes,
wonderful
it is.
To hear. Because you have control. You have a lot of control and power to really create the life you want to live, despite the impositions from the outside. And that's wonderful that you're doing that. And I would say bravo that you go to counseling. In fact, I would say even if your marriage is good, go to counseling or go to Marriage Encounter or, go to groups. They're going to talk. Yeah, you may be of help to somebody else who's in a difficult situation. So don't think it's all about you if you go to a counseling, but really you're doing this for yourself, for your family, and for other couples too, so that you can grow in your marriage and have a healthy marriage.
Bernadette, thank you so much for that call. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people. And
absolutely.
Now we're going to let you go and help your 5-year-old have a really great dinner.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye. 1-877-511-5483 is the number to call. That's what Bernadette did. And we are going to go to Pam. Pam, thank you. You're on the line with Father Michael Mayer. Hello, Pam.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, Pam.
Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
We're here.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, I really just called in because I come from divorce. My parents were divorced. In fact, of all the people in my entire family, including my sisters, I figure there were like 25 divorces. So I entered marriage.
Wow.
Myself divorced and not even baptized. My mom had some experiences that left her with that as a decision for us. And my husband was a Catholic who was not practicing, so we married in the Unitarian Church. I'm going to make this as brief as possible, but we're married 46 years, so I'll try to make it really quick. At 7 years, we made a marriage encounter weekend, Catholic marriage encounter weekend. And after that, I really felt called to be Catholic. My husband returned to the church. We lived happily ever after. No. we realized a way to make marriage work. I entered marriage for some odd reason, believing, even though I had been married and divorced before, that I would never, never get divorced. This man was going to be forever. And the Unitarian Church doesn't, I don't know if they say that, but whatever. Anyway, it wasn't a sacrament. But I had my previous marriage set aside by the tribunal. We went through that whole long process, so it was a real long thing, but so grateful and so blessed. And I told the lady on the screener that today I love my husband with lots and lots of feelings. We passed our 46th wedding anniversary 2 weeks ago. But not all days I feel loving toward him at all. Some days I want to lock him out of the house. But you work it through. You sit on the side of the bed and you don't know the words to say. You ask the Lord for the grace that's supposed to be there because of the sacrament. And somehow you manage. It really is just by that decision. I want my grandchildren so badly to know that love is a decision. It isn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And sex and all those things are, by feelings, but that's not something that makes something last. What makes something last is making a decision, and sometimes a daily one, that you'll return to that commitment and that you'll forgive and that you'll, go back to one another. And there's lots of great programs, Marriage Encounter, Retrovive, in-parish programs. I want to start one in our parish that does mentoring for, couples longer married with younger couples.
Excellent.
So that, something can be happening for younger couples who are not as encouraged to stay together anymore.
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
Sorry, that was way longer than I meant. I'm sorry.
No, that's excellent. I think one of the things we have to think about, this is true of all the sacraments, we think of them as a ceremony, a one-time ceremony, whereas it's only the beginning of that sacrament. So in marriage, you take the vows. From there on in, you have to keep marrying one another each and every day. You have to keep working on the sacrament. Same with baptism, confirmation, Eucharist. It's not just, okay, we've done it, it's over. Okay, now, how am I going to live it? How am I going to recommit myself to it each and every day? So, to say, it's not a feeling, it's a decision. That is crucial that we have to, that a point we have to get across to people. It is a choice. And the more I make choices and stick by them, that's what really defines me. That's how I grow. And that's what God wants, for me to be a free individual who makes decisions, stays by them, no matter what happens. And you're right. Every day, as a priest, some days I'd like to just go to a cave in California and live. But, I know I'd hate myself then. I'd go after myself.
Well, it's wonderful talking to you, and thank you for the topic. I appreciate it. I love listening to this program.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Pam.
Thank you so much for your call, Pam. 1-877-511-5483. Just that easy to get on the line and share your story, share your comments, share what's successful in your marriage, what makes it work. Father, we're going to go to Terry now. Terry, you're on the line with Father Mike Mayer.
Hi, Father Mike.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I just have a couple of comments. My husband and I are almost married 42 years. In a little over a week, we'll be married 42 years. We were quite young
Wonderful.
When we got married. When my kids were young and they used to say, I can't, I'd say, you can't or you won't. And I think that marriage, to kind of reiterate what Pam said, it's a you will it. So get through it or you won't get through it.
Right,
same thing. And
absolutely.
The other thing that my husband and I made a firm commitment to is we put each other first, even when mm-hmm. the children came along. Unless the children mm-hmm. were sick or really needed us, he's still my boyfriend. I'm still his girlfriend. The kids are grown,
that's a great way
married,
of looking at it.
We're going to have a date night tonight. I'm on my way home from work. And the kids are gone. And I see my sons treating their wives the way their father treats me, which
is wonderful. Oh, that is
wonderful.
Oh, that's
yes,
and so, I love the and people will say that, well, I was going to ask you the question, do you still date one another? You know, that's
mm-hmm,
a wonderful,
absolutely.
You can do that. And a lot of couples are realizing there's no reason why we have to stop dating, going out for a night and enjoying ourselves.
No,
it keeps the marriage fresh.
Absolutely. So that's all I wanted to say. It's worked for
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much,
bye-bye.
Terry. We have an open line at 1-877-511-5483. Looking for your comments, your questions, your sharing this evening on the Friday edition of Calling All Catholics and the Station of the Cross. 1-877-511-5483. Father Cindy from Rochester is not on the line, but she sent us an email and she said, would just like to say that those considering divorce should try marriage counseling because it works.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've heard many, spoken with many couples who have gotten into it. And it doesn't mean everything gets cleared up. But there again, it's the commitment, the choice to move on with it. And I know probably a lot of people think, well, if we go to counseling, it means we're not doing well. We're failing. No, it means you're healthy, that you know you need help. We go to a doctor because we have physical problems. I can't treat myself, so I go to a doctor. The same with going to a counselor for family or to a pastor for marriage counseling, whatever. That's a good thing. We should say that good for you that you value your marriage or whatever it is enough that you're seeking help, you're seeking guidance. People go to 12-step programs. You know, I'm amazed at the witnesses from people that deal with addictions of all sorts or want to help family members with addictions. What a wonderful commitment. Do we have that same type of commitment when it comes to marriage or any of the sacraments? Do we go seeking constant growth, not just when we're in trouble, but always thinking, what's coming down the line? What skill do I need to grow with? What do I need to learn so that I can be better at whatever it is, whether I'm a priest, a married person, a single person, religious life, whatever, in whatever age.
1-877-511-5483 is the number to call. Or you can email Father Michael at cac@thestationofthecross.com. We've had some really good callers with some great ideas
absolutely.
And some wonderful sharings. You know, Father, what do you think has happened in terms of the busyness that doesn't allow family to be family? And what I mean, as a matter of fact, this morning I was speaking to a lady that I work with, and we were talking about the fact that when I was growing up, I'm the second of 10 children. And almost always we ate as a family. We would wait for my dad to get home, and we ate as family. Yeah. Sunday, we ate as family, and there was just something about that. And even in my own family, with my wife and I and our five children, there is so much busyness with all kinds of activities that it makes it almost impossible to have that family unit together at any particular time.
Right, right. And I think it goes back to, what are our commitments? What are we choosing? How are we controlling the things that we have control over? How are we making decisions that are good, healthy decisions for our family life? I think in part that's one of the reasons why so many people, more and more, are homeschooling their children.
Yes.
So that they have that connection with the children. And I love getting together with St. Gabriel Homeschooling Group in the Finger Lakes area. The children are a delight, and to work with them and their families, it's there's something about it that's so. And the kids, you know, I just thought of this when we're there. They're not on their cell phones texting. They're talking with one another. I remember two boys talking about whatever this video thing is where you build nations and you do history lessons and everything. Minecraft, I think it was, whatever. And I was just impressed how, what a conversation they were having. Now, I didn't understand it, but they did, and it was such a engaged, and I don't see that a lot with younger people today. It's older people too. They're on their phones constantly checking. And again, we have control over all of that. We do. But I think there's a sense of, geez, if I don't keep up with my neighbor, or they have this and I don't, I'm going to be at a loss. Well, maybe you're going to be healthier. Maybe you'll be more aware of what's going on and just a better person overall, because you're not worshiping technology or, you know, even sports. Or, in fact, when I was coming to the studio today, there were about four people walking up and down the street with their animals, their dogs. No children, but their dogs. I'm thinking, oh, my God, what a life. Now, I know that's judgmental, but it just seems sad. It seems like it's an impoverished life when we're constantly running. And I would ask the question, what's it all for? When's it going to stop? When are you going to learn how to relax? How are you going to be able to sit quietly with the Lord, just alone or with a group of people at Mass? I think we're destroying ourselves through a lot of this technology. Not that it's destroying us. We're allowing it to take over our lives and determine what we do or what we don't do. So, yeah, when I was growing up too, yeah, we always wait for my father to come in from work. Usually about 6 o'clock we had dinner. And, you know, that was it. And there was no question that we're going to eat as a family. And we'd have conversation or, you know, unfortunately we sometimes watch the news on TV. But nonetheless, we were there as a family. And I think it's difficult or challenging to keep that focus on what's important because of all the mixed messages we get from all over. Or you're a bad parent if you don't let your kid be in the traveling hockey team or soccer team, whatever it is, so forth and so on. Or, you know, we miss Mass because we were in Buffalo because we had a hockey tournament, whatever. Well, you know, we can come up with those excuses all our lives, but what we're teaching our children is whatever you like to do and enjoy is more important than what is truly important, you as a child of God and growing, because ultimately what it's all about is the Lord and heaven. It's not about anything earthly that we achieve.
1-877-511-5483. I would love to hear from a couple homeschool parents. Tell us some of the things that you do in terms of limiting technology, or what the key to success with homeschooling. You know, was it easy initially, or did you have to convince the kids that this was going to be a good thing? Great sharing. Give us a call, 1-877-511-5483. You know, Father, my oldest son is very tall. He's very tall, and he's a pretty good basketball player. And when he was a junior in high school, he came to me and he said, would you be disappointed if I stopped playing basketball? And I said, no, why are you asking? He said, because I do this because I like it, and I don't like it anymore.
Oh, good for him.
And I was so proud of him because he said, they are too serious about win, 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 win. And I thought, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, he's got it. That isn't the be all end all. And he quit. And I really, really have always respected that decision. I respected his maturity to be able to understand that, you know what, this is not what I'm all about, and I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And I think there's that happens with parents too. I think there's parents that are afraid not to go with what everyone else is doing because, as you said, I think earlier, there people can think, well, I'm a bad parent. You know, your son's talented, your daughter's talented. How could you not have them do this or do that or become a musician or go to dance or whatever? It's difficult.
Yeah, just hearing of some people's schedules exhausts me. I just don't know how they do it. But again, that's the day and age, and I don't know where this came from. I guess part of it is this, and it's probably propaganda ultimately. If you really love your children, if you want the best for them, you've got to give them all these opportunities and go to all their games and this, that, and the other thing. And when I was growing up, there wasn't that same sort of focus on all the, well, of course, there wasn't lacrosse back then. Soccer wasn't a big thing. So forth and so on. But we do have to, when the day ends, we have to say, I'm responsible ultimately for my life, and if I'm a father or mother, I'm responsible for my family's life. What is working? What is not working? If we're tired, if we're irritable, well, what are we going to do to change our system? What are we going to change our environment so that we're not all pooped out and running this way and that way, so that we can have a good conversation or we can play a board game together without getting antsy about it. I know one family, they wrote a book called The Winter of Our Disconnect, and it was about giving up all tech for 6 months. And she was very honest, the woman who wrote it. She said, yeah, we went through the DTs to begin with, but what we found as we stayed with it, we had to really talk with one another. We played games with one another. So she really came across as saying there's something beneficial in controlling the technology as opposed to the other way. And of course, there's all these horror stories about we don't have a clue what's going on with the technology. For example, there was a story about kids who had laptops that came from school that someone could go in and look through the camera to see what they were doing in their rooms. And, you know, this is ridiculous. Why do we allow this? Well, we do because we'd rather have the technology than actually taking control of our lives. And I think, in a sense, a lot of it is brainwashing across the board with all different issues. And that's where the church has to be very strong, and I think is strong, as we've seen in the synod, that if God says this is the way it is, and it's not because God wants to be pushy or take away our joy, but he wants to protect us from ourselves and wants to protect the joy that he wants to give us. But I wonder if we think that way, or do we think, oh, geez, you know, I'm not going to be happy or whatever, rather than thinking the way of the Lord is the true way to joy. And so to practice that, to implement it, to find ways of protecting it in our lives and to celebrate it. Because again, it's not just for my sake, but it's for the sake of the immediate community as well as the universal community.
You know, Father, I'm thinking as I'm speaking with you here on the program, I think it would be interesting to get together three or four or five successful marriages, whatever that means, in a parish, and allow other couples to come in and just have a night where they can talk about what goes on in a marriage and, you know, what the things that each individual couple have done and worked through and how they did it to keep their marriage alive and vibrant, like our callers today. They had some great ideas and great suggestions. And do that
Absolutely.
On a parish level, because if you can identify those folks, you know what you may end up having is a situation where the parish identifies successful relationships in marriage. And that way, maybe someone can say, hey, you know what? Do you mind if I call Mrs. So-and-so? Because I heard her speak. She may be able to help me, or her husband may be able to help you, and we can work through this so that there's a good support system out there so that you don't feel alone. And hopefully, if it's through the parish, it's going to be some good Catholic Christian advice that you're going to receive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We all need mentoring. Every single day, I think of my spiritual director who's 86. You know, his health is, you know, up and down. But what I love about him, he really strives to continue to be creative. He took up the violin a couple years ago and is in a senior orchestra. You know, and I think, oh, wow. And, you know, every once in a while I think, what am I going to do when he dies? Because he's such an inspiration to me and such a help in my own spiritual growth. But, you know, that's the sort of thing that I think that the smart people will get surround them with people who are healthy, who can give good advice and aren't afraid to ask for it or to give it. But we have to create the environment. I think your idea is an excellent one. In fact, I was thinking a great title is What I Wish I Had Known Before I Got Married, or Pitfalls of Marriage. And of course, you have healthy people who have seen it through, so that in a way, people could say, oh, you know, we're going through that too, and I didn't think we could get out of it. Oh, there's help. There is hope. There is light there. But we need someone to walk us through this. And that's, again, what Christian community should be, a very vibrant community that is looking to help people to succeed in their discipleship, to grow as disciples, not just to kind of put our card in as we go in on Sunday and go out, but rather looking at ways in which we can share our wisdom, our struggles, our joys, our sorrows with one another, because we're all in it together. I can't do it alone. There's no way I could grow in my faith if I didn't have good people around me. And certainly with marriages today, of all the different domestic areas or the domestic church is so crucial, and I think it is being attacked in a very satanic way by the forces of politically correct culture and what is not healthy, that the church really needs to come up with more ways invite more people into the process of showing what healthy marriage is all about, what the skills are that are needed, what the strategies are to keep a marriage fresh and happy so that people will continue to date through the 50th, 60th year of marriage and still find something to learn about and enjoy in their spouse and in their family.
I think the marriage mentoring might be a really good idea, and even though you'd have to understand the limitations that the individuals may not be qualified as marriage counselors, but as marriage mentors, if you were able to be hooked up maybe through your pastor, and your pastor could say, you know, you're having a rough time, I'm going to hook you up with so-and-so in the parish. And she said that when you're having those kinds of days when just things are up and beyond what you really think you can take, you can call her and she can give you some of the advice, and you can say, you know, did this ever happen to you? You know, the kids did this or my husband said that. And, you know, a lot of times you can talk someone down from a high point by just listening to them. I remember when I mentioned business before, and there was one time in a particular situation where I was sitting in the office, and one of the people that was working for me, he was really, really, really upset. I mean, he was livid. And he came into my office, he closed the door, and he literally was yelling. But he wasn't yelling at me. As a matter of fact, when he opened the door, there were two security guys outside because they thought I was in trouble. But what ended up happening is he spoke what was on his heart. I never said a word. And when he finished, he reached over my desk. He goes, "Thank you for listening to me." He says, "Thank you so much for getting me off the cliff." And he took a big breath, let it out. He walked out of the office with a smile. I didn't say a word. And I think a lot of marriage situations, you know, you can give advice, but at the same time, there are those situations where we just need to let a little bit of the air out and let it go, and that can make it so much better.
Absolutely. And sometimes it will be, let's say, with the spouse. Generally, it should be with the spouse. But again, to create the environment and the time that's going to be most conducive to allowing the words to be said and to be sort of de-emotionalized, but also at times to call somebody else. You know, for example, again, going back to 12-step programs, what does a person do but they call their sponsor? Say, "Hey, I'm having a real hard time." And generally, it's, you know, okay, the sponsor may simply say, "Well, what's going on? What did you learn in AA? How have you dealt with this before? What was successful? What wasn't?" You know, it's the same type of thing that we're not talking rocket science, but we're allowing people to sort of talk out the emotion so they can get to, "Oh, I have a choice to make here, and I can make it. Sure, it's difficult, but I can make it." So that we are truly choosing, making decisions based on what we know to be true and good and healthy and holy, and not simply going along with, you know, what the culture saying, which is so opposed in so many ways to what Christ is calling us to do and to be. And again, you know, we read that, maybe we don't read it enough, that Jesus did not cling to his divinity, but he took the form of a slave. Right there, a God let go of his divinity, became a slave to us. So what's that mean in marriage? What's that mean for me as a priest? What's that mean for me, for the average Catholic in the pew? Are we practicing slavery towards one another? Christian slavery, which is true freedom, because it is a choice. It's not about feeling. It's about choosing. I'm sure, well, we know that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was agonizing over what he knew was coming, but he still did it. And he said, "Lord, Father, I don't, if possible, let this cup pass, but not my will, your will be done." There's the choice that he made. So we have the model certainly in Jesus for all of these situations, but to be reminded of that, so that we're always putting into the context, whatever we're going through in marriage or family life or business, putting the context of what is my call as a baptized Christian? What's good? What's wrong? What's evil? What's holy? What do I need to choose to do if I want to continue to grow as a disciple? And again, I think that's where our parishes need to develop that environment where it's how can we grow? How can we grow? How can we grow? How can we get better at this? Not, okay, you put your envelope in the basket and you came to Mass and maybe belong to the Rosary Society, but no, how can I do it 24/7? How can I share my faith? How can I go out and support people in their journey and in the same way get support for my own journey as I deepen my relationship with God?
Father, we're coming to the close of the program. We only have about 30 seconds left before the music comes on. This has been a wonderful discussion. I thank you so much for bringing up the idea of discussing the synod and the family, especially because there isn't an issue that is more important to our society today.
Absolutely.
There's no question about it. And I'm looking forward to hearing some of the things that you may do in your parish as a result of some of the recommendations for the Synod to help families to allow us to understand the gift that we have in our spouses. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you to all of our callers. Would you please end the program with a prayer?
Yes, may Almighty God bless us all that we may grow in our discipleship and grow as a family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us. Father Michael Mayer, the parochial vicar of Our Lady of Peace in Geneva, New York. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Station of the Cross. The Station of the Cross is a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please consider making a donation. Donations can be made through our website, thestationofthecross.com, or by calling 1-877-888-6279. You can also donate right through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app. Thank you for listening to and supporting the Station of the Cross, proclaiming the fullness of truth with clarity and charity.